Can you add 2 minutes on the clock?
Yeah. Good morning. We're doing the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, the 5th chapter, the 6th Mishnah. And the Mishnah was enumerating the 10 things that were created on twilight of Friday afternoon. So we had learned, I'm recapping, we had learned that the mouth of the earth, which Korach would be swallowed into, the mouth of the well, which the Jewish people would get their waters from, the mouth of the donkey that would talk to Bilam, the rainbow and the man. So these we discussed. And then we discussed the staff of Moshe and the shamir worm. That the shamir worm could cut through things wherever you'd place it. We discussed last week that the researchers want to say that it emits some type of acid, that wherever you put it down, it cuts through. Now we move on. The Mishnah says, HaKetav, the writing. What's the Ketav? So the Torah, HaTorah Shaita Ketuvah Lifnei Hashem Yitbarach, the Torah that was before Hashem written, Misheshit Yemei Vereshit, from the 6 days of creation, Ve'esh Shechora Al Gabei Esh Levana, the Jerusalem Talmud says, how was the Torah written? It was black fire on top of white fire. There wasn't any paper. There wasn't any ink. There was a Torah written with black fire on white fire. So that's the idea over here, that this Torah, it was existent from when? This Torah was existent from the 6th day of creation at twilight. V'amichtav. The Torah that was written. We say Hashem has a Torah that's written before him. That Torah of black fire on top of white fire was written then. You'll ask.
The opposite. I always assume that that was the one Kadam Na'olam.
Right. So you have to say that that's not the one that was Kadam Na'olam, because the Gemara says on the Pasuk, Hashem Kanani Reshit Darko Kedem Mifalav Me'az. The Torah says, Hashem Kanani, Hashem created me, Reshit Darko, when he started doing everything, kedem mifalo, before Hashem started doing anything in the world, me'az, from way back when. So the Gemara says over 800 generations before the creation of the world, over 900 generations before the creation of the world, Hashem had a Torah. And then based on that, Hashem said, okay, I've written up the blueprint, I'll create the world. So that has to be a different concept of Torah. Meaning, not that I understand what this concept is. I don't know what it means to have black fire and white fire. But that concept that a Torah existed pre-creation is a different concept than this one. And I don't know what either one means.
Do we understand it to be then not the narrative of the Torah, but the 613 of the Torah, the rules of the Torah, or the complete narrative, historical narrative as we read it? We say, of course, Abraham kept Torah. We understand that as he kept mitzvot of the Torah, in the narrative, had it occurred, not that that's a hindrance to Hashem, obviously, at the time, we understand. It's not the same.
You want a long answer or a short answer?
I have until Shabbos.
Should we take a few minutes to discuss this question?
You want to.
Okay. So there are different approaches to this question. When we say the Torah predated the world, so we're saying many concepts in that sentence. Someone called me yesterday and told me that they have new instructions now in the media. Seems in the United States there are many scandals, one after another, about people who behaved inappropriately with women in their vicinity. So people are saying, let's make laws in the office where you have to talk to your secretary and say, Miss so-and-so. There have to be respectful ways to talk to a secretary. And they came out with instructions. This weekend is in America Thanksgiving, so they came out with instructions, tell your daughters that an uncle can give them a slight, quick hug, but not a kiss. So I said, that's so fascinating, because 20 years ago, when we used to say, that's not halacha, people looked at us and said, it's the halacha says you can't give a cousin a kiss, you can't give your niece a kiss. What's wrong with giving a kiss? Today, suddenly, the United States is waking up and saying, hey, wait a second, we want to make laws like this. And I'm thinking, But the Torah said this long ago. The idea, we always said that in the workplace, you have to treat a woman respectfully. Don't call her by your first name. There has to be a certain distance, because otherwise inappropriate things can easily happen. And when we said it, people would always look at us and say, why are you being so stringent? Why are you so... But that's what the halacha said. So one of the beautiful things that we see, and one of the great sources that stress this, is the Baal HaTanya, is that the Torah is a constant. Fads come, fads go. People have this philosophy and that philosophy, and Torah remains constant. It's Dvar Hashem. And I'll tell you, in all honesty, from my perspective, this is perhaps the greatest proof to the authenticity of the Torah. The consistency. The fact that generations come, generations go, we're not playing games. We're with the Torah. Hashem told us this is how to behave, this is how we're behaving. So there were times that they mocked us for doing circumcisions, and today they look and they say, wow, you were right, it's healthy. And there were times that they mocked our keeping Shabbos, they said you should work all the time, and today they say you're right. And there were times that they mocked our family structure, and they said, how come the Jewish family has to be so closed? Why don't you go to kibbutzim? Why don't you let all the boys be together and the girls be together? And suddenly they're saying, no, it's terrible, the outcomes are horrible. Kids need a father, kids need a mother. And every value that the Torah teaches us over and over again, and throughout the generations we've been attacked. It was the Greeks, it was the Romans, it's Western philosophy, it's Sharia law. Everyone's always saying we're wrong. And we keep going, the Jew keeps going, this is what Hashem told me and this is what I'm doing, and it's a constant. So when we say the Torah predated the world, what we're saying is Torah isn't a product of what the world thinks or what society thinks. Torah is the blueprint to the world. Hashem said, this is the way I want the world to look. Working off of Torah, Hashem created the world, and it's the most perfect fit. Do we always have answers? We don't always have answers. Does it always resonate with us? No, it doesn't always resonate with us. But that's because we're not where we should be. It's not because there's something wrong with the Torah. Obviously, you have to learn and appreciate in order to make such a sentence. We're not saying a person should just say, yes, Torah is true and goodbye. Learn, appreciate, understand. And with time, you'll have that respect. It reaches a point where Avraham Avinu doesn't have answers. And he can go and do the akedah, even though he says, I don't know why this is right. But you know, so I'm going to listen to you. I don't know. Avram doesn't have good answers at that moment. He has one answer. God said so. Okay. I that's a good answer. I'm saying, but it doesn't mean that we have an understanding. So on the most basic level, the concept is, Hashem created a Torah before he created the world. Gemara, the concept of the true way of behaving. But there's another level of understanding. And that is that the Talmud teaches us, and we learned a little bit of this in Masechet Shabbat towards the end in our Ein Yaakov class. We view Torah as not simply a redaction of stories and laws. When we look at Torah, we believe every letter of Torah is holy. Every letter. And even if the Torah goes at length to say certain things, and we don't understand why the Torah does that, the Torah can tell you the sacrifices of 12 tribes, and they're all the same. And the Torah will then spend approximately 96 psukim, I think it's 8 psukim per tribe, telling you, and this tribe brought this sacrifice, and then enumerates the whole sacrifice, and this tribe brought this sacrifice, same story. Everyone's doing the same thing. 96 psukim to tell me the same thing? So we don't know why, or at least I don't know why. I haven't yet seen a good answer. I've seen answers, and I'm not so comfortable with them. So we view it that every single letter of Torah is holy. We view it that the letters and their combination in the Torah is a very holy system, to the point that we say, you know how Hashem created the world? He took the letters of Torah, and using different combinations, that's how Hashem created the world. So when you ask me a question of, what does it mean that the Torah predated the world? Does that really mean that the whole narrative of the Jews transgressing with the spies and everything else was written in the Torah? So I would say, although we still have to answer the question of free will as opposed to Hashem knowing in advance what the outcome is going to be, nonetheless, the concept of the Torah being this way, it would seem, is a constant. Yes, we had free will, and yes, the Torah in its complete form already existed beforehand. Now that's a can of worms, right? You know, how do you work with that? So where were people's free will if Hashem already wrote the narrative beforehand? But if we say that Hashem is Hayah Hoveh Yiyeh, that Hashem is not limited by the dimension of time, and at any given moment Hashem is not only here, but Hashem is also in yesterday and in tomorrow, and Hashem is beyond the concept of time, so then we can also at least conceptualize this idea that I can have free will, even though Hashem is aware of what I'm going to do. Again, it's not an accurate explanation. It's to make it easier for us to conceptualize. Just as I know what happened yesterday, and that doesn't preclude my free will from doing it yesterday. So if Hashem knows, again, this is just to help us conceptualize. It's not an accurate description. So at any rate, that's why I would not preclude the idea that the full Torah was written the way we have it. Yes. Okay. Ve'hamichtav. Michtav is the form of the letters, where again, we view the form of the letters as being something that has intrinsic holiness. Every letter. And we have a whole medrash just on the letters. We don't know how to even read this medrash. There's a medrash on every letter of the Torah, what these letters represent. Rav Kook Zatzal wrote an explanation on that medrash. The medrash is called Otiyot Midrash Otiyot Rabbi Akiva. The medrash of the letters of Rabbi Akiva. And it's considered a very high Kabbalistic work. And Rav Kook Zatzal wrote a commentary explaining this. And it's called Reish Milin, Rav Kook's commentary. And most people can't read beyond the first paragraph. They read the first section. After that, they have no idea what they're reading in this book, Reish Milin. But Rav Kook Zatzal wrote this commentary on this medrash. So again, we speak about the letters. We say the letters have intrinsic holiness. Tzurat otiyot charut al haluchot. The form of the letters that were engraved into the tablets. Now, a few weeks ago, we went into a discussion, did the Hebrew alphabet change between the First Temple and Second Temple period? We have two opinions in the Gemara and the Talmud, Masechet Sanhedrin, whether the rabbis had a tradition from Moshe till Ezra that said that there would be a change in the letters. Or was it that the common folk used common letters, but even in the era of the first Beit HaMikdash, in the Beit HaMikdash, and in the unique Torah scrolls that were used for public readings, they also used what we call the Assyrian script, the script that we use today. So we know there was another script. The Talmud calls it Ktav Ivri, what they call the ancient Hebrew font. The question was, their phylacteries, their tefillin, did they write, in which way did they write it? So it's clear that there were some people who were writing it in the ancient Hebrew font. What's not clear is, are those the Karaites, or is that the common Jewish people? The fact that archaeologists find tefillin that way, could be, that's fine. We're not saying people didn't do it. What we're asking is, what were the rabbis saying you should do? So we come back to our Mishnah. Even if we would say that the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, they were using the Hebrew font and not what we call Ktav Ashurit, the modern-day Assyrian script, we still don't know what was the script on the Luchos. It's possible that on the Luchos, the script was the script we have today. Even if the script of the other stuff till the end of the first Beit HaMikdash was in Hebrew font. So here it says, Michtav, Tzurat ha'otiyot charut al haluchot, the form of the letters that would be engraved onto the tablets. V'aluchot, another thing Hashem created at twilight, was the luchos, the tablets themselves, which were miraculous. And Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't explain why they needed to be created at twilight. There are different interpretations. There is a medrash that says that all of the oral law was on the luchos. It sounds like the luchos had a moving screen, meaning the medrash says that you had all of the text, or everything that would be, all of the knowledge of the oral law was also on the first set of luchos that Hashem himself made. Exactly what that means is a good question. But there was something miraculous about them. Hashem makes the luchos. And here again we see the heavenly plan, that there would be a Jewish people, and there would be tablets, and there would be Ten Commandments. If we revisit our conversation from last night, where Rav Soloveitchik, we discussed, says that the Ten Commandments were meant for the whole world, not only for the Jewish people. So it could be that the initial planning was that the tablets would also be something for the world. I don't know. Meaning we do find, the Medrash says that the whole world heard of the Ten Commandments. That when Hashem appeared and gave us the Ten Commandments, it was heard throughout the world. So that there comes the question again, what was Hashem's plan in preparing these luchos from the 6 days of creation? Why was that important? Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah didn't answer that question at this point.